Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Many Lives of Mama Love by Lara Love Hardin is a memoir of a woman who appeared to have a stable, aspirational life and then watched it unravel through addiction, deception, and crime. Selected for Oprah's book club, the book traces Hardin's journey from a high-achieving mother and community member to a person living a secret double life of pill use, lying, and stealing that culminates in arrest and incarceration. From there, the story shifts toward accountability and reinvention as she confronts the damage done to her family, her sense of self, and the trust she depended on to survive. A central thread is writing, first as a means of coping, and then as a path toward meaningful work and a new identity. Rather than presenting redemption as a simple turnaround, the memoir emphasizes the long, uneven process of recovery, making amends, and learning how to tell the truth, both on the page and in everyday life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the double life behind a polished image. One of the memoir's driving tensions is the gap between how Lara Love Hardin is perceived and what she is hiding. On the outside, she is a mother with responsibilities, social standing, and the ability to perform competence in ways that reassure everyone around her. Internally, she is managing cravings, secrecy, and the constant calculations required to keep an addiction fed without being discovered. The book explores how a public identity can become a shield that enables harm. Not because people are foolish, but because social trust tends to attach itself to familiar roles like mom, volunteer, and capable professional. Hardin shows how small deceptions can normalize bigger ones, until lying becomes less an event and more a lifestyle. This topic also highlights shame and fear as accelerants, as each lie raises the cost of telling the truth. Readers see how the pressures of maintaining appearances can distort decision-making and intensify isolation. The narrative invites reflection on how communities can confuse respectability with safety and how someone can be both cared for and unseen at the same time. Secondly, addiction as a progression of choices and consequences, the memoir frames addiction not as a single dramatic moment, but as a progression with identifiable stages. It begins with the lure of relief and control, where substances seem to solve pain, anxiety, or overwhelm. Over time, the sought-after relief shrinks, while the costs expand into relationships, finances, and mental stability. Hardin depicts how rationalization works, how the mind produces convincing stories to justify the next decision, and how these stories can feel like truth in the moment. A key element is the way addiction narrows a person's world until everything becomes organized around access, secrecy, and avoiding withdrawal or exposure. The book also examines the collateral damage, including broken trust with family and friends, and the instability that follows. Without turning the story into a moral lecture, it underscores the reality that harm compounds and the consequences do not always arrive immediately, which can make self-correction harder. For readers, this topic offers a clearer understanding of why willpower alone often fails and why recovery usually requires support, structure, and deep honesty. Thirdly, crime, arrest, and the shock of accountability. When deception and theft escalate, the memoir confronts the point where private wrongdoing becomes public fact. Hardin recounts the destabilizing impact of arrest and the sudden collapse of the story she has been telling others and herself. This topic focuses on accountability, not as an abstract virtue, but as a forced reckoning with concrete outcomes. The legal system becomes an unavoidable mirror, and the experience strips away the comforts of status that previously softened scrutiny. The narrative explores fear, humiliation, and grief as she faces how her actions affected victims and loved ones. It also considers how consequences can be clarifying even when they are painful, because they eliminate denial and demand decisions about what comes next. The memoir does not romanticize incarceration, but it does treat the experience as a turning point where survival depends on confronting reality. Readers are encouraged to think about how accountability differs from shame and how owning harm can be the first step toward change. The result is a nuanced look at responsibility that acknowledges both personal agency and the complexity of addiction-driven behavior. Fourthly, rebuilding a life through writing and work. A distinctive aspect of Hardin's story is the role that writing and professional purpose play in rebuilding. The memoir describes how putting experiences into words can create distance from chaos, enabling reflection and a more coherent sense of self. Writing is presented as both a craft and a discipline, something that rewards honesty and persistence. Over time, it becomes a path to work that is meaningful and stabilizing, offering a new identity that is not based on hiding. This topic emphasizes the practical side of reinvention, earning trust, developing skills, showing up consistently, and accepting that credibility is rebuilt through repeated behavior rather than declarations. It also highlights the tension of telling one story while protecting the privacy and dignity of others affected by it. For readers, the ARC demonstrates how creative or service-oriented work can function as recovery capital, providing structure, community, and self-respect. The book suggests that transformation often comes from doing the next right thing repeatedly while learning to tolerate discomfort without retreating into old patterns. Lastly, healing, amends, and learning to tell the truth. The memoir treats healing as more than sobriety or a clean record. It is a multi-layered process that includes repairing relationships, learning emotional regulation, and facing the underlying drivers of self-destructive behavior. Hardin addresses the complexity of making amends, where apology is not a single conversation, but a sustained commitment to changed conduct. This topic explores the slow rebuilding of trust, especially within family life, where the pain of betrayal can linger even after genuine change begins. The book also examines truth-telling as a skill that must be practiced, particularly for someone who has relied on lies to manage fear and maintain control. Telling the truth involves accepting consequences, but it also creates the possibility of intimacy, stability, and self-respect. Readers see that recovery is rarely linear and that setbacks in emotion, confidence, or relationships can occur even when progress is real. By focusing on honesty, humility, and consistent effort, the memoir presents healing as an ongoing practice. The result is an empathetic, realistic portrayal of how a person can move from fracture toward wholeness without pretending the past never happened. In conclusion, this memoir is well suited for readers who appreciate candid personal stories about addiction, incarceration, and reinvention, including book club audiences and anyone drawn to narratives of accountability rather than quick fixes. It can also benefit family members and friends of people in recovery by offering a human, inside view of how secrecy grows, why change is difficult, and what rebuilding trust tends to require. The book's value lies in how it connects personal collapse to practical reconstruction. Readers are likely to come away thinking more clearly about honesty, boundaries, and the everyday habits that create stability. Hardin's emphasis on writing and work as tools for transformation may resonate with people seeking a model for channeling pain into purpose, whether through creativity or service. Compared with similar recovery memoirs, this one stands out for its focus on identity shifts, especially the tension between a socially admired role and a hidden compulsive life, and for the way it highlights craft, responsibility, and long-term repair. It is worth buying for readers who want an absorbing story and a realistic perspective on how healing is built through repeated choices, not a single moment of redemption. If you would like to support Lara Love Hardin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.